Hechel Menachem presents A Tale of Two Souls, an ongoing lecture series on the Tanya by Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Jacobson. This is recording number 98 in this series entitled Transforming the World Through Torah, The Superiority of Torah Study. This class was recorded live at Hechel Menachem, Brooklyn, New York, on the 11th of Nisan, 5760.
Welcome back, everybody. In our previous class, we discussed the superior quality existing in mitzvahs relative to Torah, as well as the superior quality existing in Torah learning versus the performance of mitzvahs. The superior quality in the mitzvah experiences that it is connected and it impacts the physicality of the world as well as the physicality of man's body as well as the physical biological soul performing the mitzvah. And thus, through mitzvahs, the ultimate objective of creation to sanctify the physical and the mundane is achieved. On the other hand, the godliness which man accesses through learning Torah is far deeper and more powerful than the godliness accessed through a mitzvah. Through a mitzvah you grasp Hashem's limb or organ, as the Zohar put it, Evarim de Malka. Through Torah you grasp Hashem's mind. And everybody knows that the soul is expressed and revealed in the mind far, far more than the soul is revealed in the abdomen, in the leg, in the knee, or in the arm. To be sure, the soul does express itself and is revealed in the abdomen and in the leg, but you cannot compare it to the way that it is revealed and expressed in the mind. If you wish, the intimacy of the soul is expressed in the mind, not so much in the other limbs and organs. It's far harder to learn about the soul of a human being via his movements. For example, to look how he moves his hands or legs. It's possible to glean insight into the nature of his soul. And in fact, there are various disciplines in the world that are based on this. Because ultimately the will of the soul is expressed through the various organs. But yet, it's much harder to learn about the soul through the movement of his organs than to learn about it through his mind, through his thoughts, his words, his ideas, his inclinations, and so forth. There, the intimate, essential personality of the soul is expressed. Which brings to mind the story that the Tzemach Tzedek, Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneerson, the grandson of the Alter Rebbe, was orphaned from his mother at the age of 3. So he was raised at the feet of his grandfather, the Alter Rebbe. Once, the Tzemach Tzedek was sitting on the Rebbe's lap and playing as a young child. He was stroking the Alter Rebbe's beard. Everybody knows that the Alter Rebbe's beard was very powerful. So he was stroking the Alter Rebbe's beard and saying, "Zayda, Zayda, Grandpa, Grandpa." So the Alter Rebbe said, "Mendele, this is not a Zayda. This is the beard of the Zayda. Where is the Zayda?" So the Tzemach Tzedek grabbed his nose and he said, "Zayda." So the Alter Rebbe said, "This is not a Zayda. This is the nose of the Zayda. Where is the Zayda?" So he touched his eyes, and the Alter Rebbe protested again, said, "These are the eyes of the Zayda." And then he touched his chest, and he grasped his arms. And each time the Alter Rebbe protested and said, "This is the chest of the Zayda, the arms of the Zayda, but who is the Zayda, where is the Zayda," and so forth. Suddenly the Tzemach Tzedek was off his lap, running around the house and playing. A few moments later, the Tzemach Tzedek found himself behind a door, near a door, and supposedly his finger got caught in the door. I say supposedly because that's the position in which he was in, and he shouted, "Zayda! Zayda!" So the Alter Rebbe turns around swiftly, runs over to him and says, "What is it, Mendele?" The Tzemach Tzedek smiles and said, "Ah, this is Zayda." So you can say thus, through a mitzvah you take Hashem, you grasp Hashem, the real Zayda, through his lapel, even through his arms, his legs. You take Hashem in the way that he expresses himself through physical mediums. Just as you learn about the soul and you glean insight into the soul and you have the soul, through the organs, the soul expresses itself through physical mediums. In a mitzvah, Hashem's will, Hashem's energy, Hashem's personality, so to speak, is expressed through physical mediums. In Torah, you take the Zayda as he is, in his intimacy and in his essence. The mind, not just the lapel. The very soul, not just the eyes or the chest or the organs. Here you have the soul. The soul is one, is synonymous, becomes totally expressed in the mind. That's what Torah is. Therefore, the Alter Rebbe explained, if a mitzvah cannot be performed through others, it will not be performed by anyone if you do not do it. It overrides the priority of Torah study. But if someone else can perform the mitzvah, your learning Torah overrides your obligation to perform that mitzvah, although you're learning about that mitzvah. Nonetheless, continuing to learn is more significant and important in the Jew's life. Why? So the Alter Rebbe said, because the primary mission of a Jew lay in the performance of mitzvahs, to revolutionize and transform the body, the animal soul, and the physical world. But the natural place of a Jew is in Torah. Where does a Jew feel the most at home? That's in Torah. The natural place of Jewish soul, of the Jewish soul, is in Torah, because there is the deepest intimacy with reality, with truth, with Hashem. So if there's no other choice, the mitzvah is not going to be performed, go do the mitzvah. But if there's any other choice, your natural place, you gravitate to Torah. Torah is the way to go. Torah is the place to be. That's where the Zayda is. And now let's continue inside. We are nearing the conclusion of chapter 37, page 98, Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis. 6 lines from the top. V'zeh Amar Reb Sheshes. This is the meaning behind what Reb Sheshes said. Chadoi nafshoi, rejoice my soul. Lach kray, lach tanai tanai. Because for you do I read, for you do I study. The Gemara tells us in Pesachim Daf Samachasamad Beis that Reb Sheshes Kolt Losin Yoimin Mahadar Le Talmudei V'Tali V'Kai V'Ivre D'Dasha V'Amar Chadoy Nafshay etc. Which means every 30 days, the Gemara says, Reb Sheshes would review all of his studies. He would lean on the bolt of the doorway. As the commentators explain, he would lean on the horizontal bolt that secured the door. And he would exclaim, "Rejoice, my soul, rejoice, my soul. For you have I read, for you have I studied." And here the obvious question is, what is the meaning behind his words, "Rejoice, my soul"? His plea to his soul to rejoice. And furthermore, he repeats it twice in Gemara. Chadoy nafshay, rejoice my soul, rejoice my soul. So to appreciate what Alter Rebbe is saying, let's preface for a moment what some other commentators say. The Marsha explains this based on the doctrine the Rambam articulates in the beginning of his Shemayna Parakim. And we discussed this at length in the beginning of the second chapter of Tanya, if anyone of you recall, where the Rambam says that the human soul has three elements to it. He's discussing the two opinions if a person has three souls or one soul, which is composite of three dimensions. The Rambam says a person has one soul that operates on three levels and consists of three dimensions. The tivis, the nefesh ha-tivis, the nefesh ha-chiyunis, the nefesh ha-sichlis. The natural soul, the intuitive soul, which it shares with other animals, and the analytical, rational soul. Zog de Marsha, the first dimension of the soul, the natural soul, that does not engage in the experience of Torah study. It's only the latter two dimensions, the intuitive and the analytical, that engage in Torah study, and it's referring to these two dimensions which Reb Sheshes had in mind. It's these two dimensions which Reb Sheshes had in mind when he said, "Rejoice my soul, rejoice my soul." These two elements, the tiv, the chiyunis, and the sichlis, loch kroi, for you, intuitive soul, have I read chumash, Torah shebiksav, and loch tanoi, for you, analytical soul, have tanoi, have I read the Mishnah and learned the Mishnah and the Gemara. This is what the Marsha says. To take it a step deeper, we have to examine what the Kabbalah has to say about it. The Arizal has a revolutionary explanation on this Gemara in his Sefer HaGilgulim, in his Book of Reincarnations, Perek Yud, as well as in Shar HaGilgulim, the fourth introduction. Zagda Arizal, and bear with me for a few moments. Reb Sheshes was a Gilgul, was a reincarnation of the Tana Bava Ben Buta. In fact, their names are interchangeable. According to the ancient tradition of substituting the first letter with the last letter in a system known as Atbash, where the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet can be substituted with the last letter Tuf, the second letter Beis with the second to the last letter Shin, the third letter Gimel with the third to the last letter Resh, etc., etc. So Sheshes and Bav are interchangeable. The vase, the first vase of Vava, becomes a shin. The second vase of Vava becomes a shin. And the aleph of Vava becomes a saf. So Reb Sheshes was a reincarnation possessing the same soul that Bava Ben Buta had. Everybody knows that both Reb Sheshes and Bava Ben Buta were unique in the sense that they could not see. They were both blind. The Gemara says in the beginning of Baba Basra Daf Dalet that the lunatic Melech Hordus Herod killed out all of the sages of the era, and he blinded, he poked out the eyes of Bava Ben Buta. Concerning Reb Sheshes, the Gemara says in Brachas Daf Nun Ches Amud Aleph that Reb Sheshes was a sagi nar, full of light, which is the euphemism to describe, heaven forbid, a person who cannot see. Why did Bava Ben Buta's soul need to be reincarnated? If anyone's soul did not need a Gilgul, because it completed its mission on earth, and it went back to the next world without a blemish, it was Bava Ben Buta. Everyone knows, the Mishnah says in Krisis Daf Chav Hei, that there was one Yid who would bring a carbon Ashem Talui every single day. Every day of his life he offered an Asham Tali. Just in case he sinned by mistake, unintentionally, unaware of it, he offered an Asham Tali to atone for it. Besides one day, the day after Yom Kippur. That's what the Mishnah says in Christmas. In fact, the Mishnah continues that Baba Ben Vuta swore in the Beis HaMikdash. He says, believe me, I swear, I would have brought a carbon even the day after Yom Kippur. But what should I do? The Chachamim don't allow me. They're telling me, Hamtein Atshe Tikanes L'Safek. Wait until there's a doubt if you sin. But a day after Yom Kippur, there's no doubt. Because even if you sin, you were just atoned. So they said, Hamtein, wait one day. The next day, I brought a carbon. So this was Baba Ben Vuta. Zagda Arizal, indeed, Baba Ben Vuta completed his mission on the face of this earth. The soul went back untainted and unblemished, save a tiny little stain that attached itself to its soul, to his soul, and had to be healed, had to be fixed. And thus it came down again into the body of Reb Sheshes. Zagda Arizal, generally speaking, everybody shares the reward for the Torah and mitzvahs that the soul performed while it was in that body. Which is relevant particularly to the time of the resurrection, to the time of Tchiyas HaMeisim. That even, for example, if my soul has previously been in another body. So everybody asks the question, during resurrection, when both people are going to exist simultaneously, which body is going to stand up? And the answer is, the reason the soul was reincarnated again, because the first time it was not fixed, the first time it was still tainted, and thus, a very large portion of it is connected to the second body when it was fixed and healed and so forth. So those elements of the soul that completed their mission in the first body, that will come into the first body. Those elements of the soul that did not complete their mission in the first body, only in the second body, will exist in the second body. This is what it says in Zohar and in the writings of the Arizal. However, if, when the soul was in the first body, it lived an absolutely complete life, it's just something very tiny was fixed in the second body. So essentially, the soul is connected exclusively to the first body and not to the second body. It came to the second body, only borrowed it for a little while. And therefore, the Arizal says, during Tchiyas HaMeisim, the soul, the entire soul, will return to the first body because its main work, its main service, its main accomplishments were all in that body. If there's still a lot left over, so part of the soul is very much connected to the second body. But in this case, where so little was left over, so really the soul is totally connected to the first body. Reb Sheshes knew this. So Reb Sheshes said, Chadoi nafshoi, chadoi nafshoi, lachroi lachtroi. Rejoice my soul. My soul rejoice, not my body. For you, from my soul am I learning. From my soul am I reading. All my learning and all my mitzvahs are for the sake of the soul. The soul is going to gain of it, not my body. That's what he meant. Chadoi nafshoi, chadoi nafshoi. So you're asking, does it mean Reb Sheshes is not going to resurrect? And Sefer HaGilgulim, the Arizal writes that the second body will also be resurrected. But nevertheless, it will not really be a home for that soul. The soul will visit it, he says, like a oirach ba'alma, like a guest. A guest visits a home, but it will not really be connected to that soul or to the achievements of that soul or to the spirituality of that soul and so forth. The Ben Yehoyada on Psachim writes that that's the reason that Reb Sheshes used to kai vitali beivri de dasha, which means he would lean on the bolt of the doorway. So the Ben Yehoyada writes, because dasha, ivri de dasha is the bolt of the doorway. Dasha in Aramaic, in the Talmudic language, is bava. So by standing in a place which in Talmudic terminology is defined as Bava. He was signifying that the cause of a statement is because he knows that he's a reincarnation of Bava Vimvut. The Rebbe once wrote to someone in a letter, parenthetically, that the Gemara says a story in Pcheides Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Beis, that once Reb Sheshes answered a very powerful question that was asked on a certain issue in Pcheides. Rev Idi was his secretary or his assistant, and Rev Idi heard his answer, and Rev Idi repeated it in the Beis Medrash, but he did not say it in the name of Reb Sheshes. When Reb Sheshes heard that his answer was repeated without mentioning its original source, he was extremely upset and aggravated to the extent that he said, "The man who bit me should be bitten by a scorpion." And the Gemara explains this based on the famous idea that every Talmud Chacham, every Torah scholar, who teaches a halacha, and then that halacha is recited in his name in this world, even if he has passed on. But when his halach is recited in his name in this world, Svasov Deviv is Bekever, his lips move in the grave. And this is why Rav Sheshes was so upset that the answer was not repeated in his name. Because later on, when he passes away, it's going to be repeated, but not in his name. So Rebbe asks the question, why was Rav Sheshes so angry about it? Does it have to do with Rav Sheshes? And he says, yeah. Because Rav Sheshes' body was melancholy, was despondent, was somewhat depressed. As Darizel writes, Darizel says, Chadoi nafshoi, his soul was ecstatic, but his body was a depressed body because of it. Because all of his work and all of his Torah was being attributed to the soul, not to the body. The body would not take part in his Torah. It would go to Bava Vemvut's body, not to his body. Rav Sheshes wanted that his body should be connected to Torah. And this could not happen through his Torah and through his work during his lifetime. Because that went to the soul and to the body of Bava Vemvut. That's why Rav Sheshes wanted so much that they should repeat Allah in his name. Because then, Svasov David was bekevered. Obviously, the body of Bava Vemvut wouldn't move in the grave when Allah would be recited in his name, even though it's Bava Vemvut's soul. Obviously, it would be the lips of his body, and thus his body would be connected to the Torah. But here, the Alter Rebbe is seemingly adding a new explanation in it, which according to this, Rav Sheshes' words can be explained even according to the literal meaning. The primary element of Torah and its superiority relative to mitzvahs is in the fact that chadai nafshai, that the soul becomes intimately connected with Hashem through Torah far more than it becomes connected with Hashem when it performs a mitzvah. The body celebrates primarily in performance of mitzvahs, because the mitzvah has an impact on the body more than Torah has an impact on the physicality of the body. So the celebration of the body is in the mitzvah. But chadai nafshai, where is the soul more happy? Obviously in Torah, because there, although there is a void in the impact of godliness in the physical world, but as far as the union of the spirituality of the Jew, of the soul of a Jew with Hashem, that's achieved in Torah far more than in mitzvahs. And this, interestingly, suits and is in sync with what the Arizal writes, because according to the Arizal, we actually understand that the primary mission of Rav Sheshes in this world was in creating a unity of a soul with godliness. So it's similar in a way to mitzvah she'afshel asayisai de'acherim, to a mitzvah that can be achieved through someone else, that then what do you have to do? You have to continue Torah study. In this sense, mitzvahs, which means changing the body, that was already done through someone else. It was done through Bava Vemvut'a. That wasn't Rav Sheshes' unique contribution. His unique job was Torah. And thus he says, Chadoi nafshoi, chadoi nafshoi. A tale of two sages, if you wish. Bava Vemvut'a and Rav Sheshes. Or a tale of one sage and of two bodies. And Alter Rebbe says, Kamisha Kosev Makamacha Bariches, as explained elsewhere at length. Whether he's referring here to Tanya chapter 23, or to Torah Parshas Mishpatim, where he discusses the statement of Rabbi Yosef, or in one place the Rebbe suggests also the reference of Sefer HaGulgulim chapter 10, and so forth. Okay, now let's continue inside. Clear? Obviously, the mitzvah is the will of Hashem. This is a fundamental idea in all of these chapters of Tanya. But the will of Hashem is being realized and expressed through physical mediums. Just as the soul is expressed in the arm and in the leg. When you move your arm or you move your leg, the Alter Rebbe explained in chapter 3, it's a direct consequence, an instinctive response of the soul. This is the will of the soul being realized. But it's realized through physical mediums. So there are more barriers, and the intensity of the revelation is not as powerful as the nature of the revelation of the soul in the mind. Not in the arm, not in the abdomen. Hashem's will in a mitzvah is realized through physical mediums. Torah, it's not realized through physical mediums. So, when the Tzemach Tzedek, the Alter Rebbe was not present in his eyes, the Alter Rebbe was not present in his beard. Look at the Alter Rebbe's eyes and in his beard, and you'll see that he was present in his eyes and in his beard. But you have the Zayda through the eyes, and you have the Zayda through the beard, and then you have Zayda. And when do you have Zayda? When the Tzemach Tzedek hurt himself, when the Alter Rebbe ran over and he said, "What is it?" It wasn't a limb, it wasn't an organ, it was the Alter Rebbe's soul, his love, his concern, his profound affection to his grandchild, towards his grandson. That's Teira. And thus, mitzvahs we define as a evarim de malk, organs of the king. Teira the Zohar defines as being a reisiv kuchibrichu kulacha, totally one, which the Alter Rebbe mentioned earlier in the chapter, as we discussed last time. Okay, now let's continue inside. V'hine, now, hamshach v'arazu. This influence and illumination. Sha'odamam shichu meir me'a'ara seirin saf baruchu al nafshe. Which a person draws from the radiance of the Ein Sof energy upon his soul. And the Alter Rebbe adds that this energy that he draws down through learning Torah is also val nefosh, is kol Yisrael, and upon the souls of all of the Jewish people. He hashchina, this is the shchina, knesses Yisrael, the convergence point of all of the Jewish people. Mekor kol neshamas Yisrael, kamei shekasav lekama, the source of all of the souls of Yidden, as will be explained later in chapter 41, because as we know, the Shechina is the wellspring, or the power plant, or the convergence place of all of the souls of the Jewish people at all times. The Shechina is the sea to which all Jewish rivers run, and from which all Jewish rivers flow and leave. So when the individual Jew draws down and draws forth an illumination, a spiritual illumination through Torah, it's not just on his own individual soul and character. It's also on his power plant. It's also on his own essence and source, the Shechina, which is the essence and the convergence point of all of the souls of the Jewish people. So all souls are affected and impacted by this intimacy. So the Alter Rebbe says, this illumination which he draws forth upon his soul, and parenthetically he added that this is also upon the souls of all the Jewish people, Ayidei Eisek HaTeira, by means of learning Teira, Nikras B'Lashin Kriya, is referred to as calling, Kairei B'Teira, as in the Talmudic expression, Kairei B'Teira, usually translated as one who reads, who studies Teira. For example, the Gemara, the Mishnah in the beginning of the second chapter of Brachas, Haya Kairei B'Teira, and many other places, the normal expression, the ordinary expression which we use to describe someone engaged in the process of learning Teira is Kairei B'Teira. So literally, it's interpreted as what? That someone is reading, is learning Teira, But here it's reinterpreted, Miloshen Kriya, as one who calls out through the Torah. Pirush, this means, Shayidei Eisek HaTorah, that through learning Torah, Kirei LaKadosh Baruch Hu Lavei Lav Kivayach, the Jew calls Hashem to come to him, so to speak. As a man calls to his friend to come to him, or as a young child will call his father to come and join him and be with him together, and not to part from him, leaving him alone, God forbid. What is the Alter Rebbe saying? Kaire b'teire doesn't only mean you're reading teire, you're learning teire. Kaire b'teire means you're calling out through teire. Teire for a Jew constitutes a call to his best friend, a call to his father to come be with him, to come join him. When a Jew sits down by a blat gemara, the Alter Rebbe is saying, what is he doing essentially? What he's doing is he's kairei b'teira. He's calling out Hashem and saying, Father, I don't want to be alone. Please, come close to me. Come into my life. Be with me, Tati. As in the metaphor of the Alter Rebbe, his dramatic metaphor, it's like a young child who doesn't want to be alone. Because what the Alter Rebbe is saying is that in our world, where Hashem is not present in a revealed way, man is often lonely. Man is often isolated. And he feels like a little child who finds himself lonely in a huge, overwhelming, threatening world. What does such a child do? He screams, Father, I don't want to be alone. Come be here with me. Zogdal to Rebbe, that's what Torah is all about. Man is alone in his world, and he opens up a Gemara. What is he doing? He's saying, Father, best friend, come be with me. I don't want to be alone. That's achieved through Torah. Because through Torah, the Father is with you in the deepest way. It's interesting that Alter Rebbe brings here two metaphors. One is a man calling out to his friend to come to him, and a child calling his father to come and join him. Why two metaphors? In Lakuti Levi Yitzchak and Tanya, there's an explanation. I have a best friend. And at crossroads in my life, or even in Mitnahel and Mitvach, Wednesday afternoon or Tuesday night, I want my best friend to be close to me. Why? Because I love him very much. Not because I'm scared to be without him, but because I love him, so I want him to be with me. But then there's a young child. A young child, a three-year-old boy, a four-year-old boy or girl, or a 10-year-old boy is scared, is terrified, is petrified when father is not there, when mother is not there. She says, Tati, please come be with me. In Chassidus, it's explained that there are two types of souls. There are souls that are defined as Hashem's friends, and there are souls that are defined as Hashem's children. Leman achai v'reya yadabra no shalom bach. For the sake of my brethren and my friends, I ask for peace unto you. Friends are listening to your voice, Hashmieni. These are souls of the world of Atzilus, of the highest, the world of intimacy, the world of intimacy with Hashem, the world of closeness. They are not petrified. They are not lonely in this world. Because souls that come from Atzilus experience godliness in a very powerful and intimate way. But still, these souls want their best friend to be with them. So that's one level of Kariyah B'Torah. But then there are the other souls, most souls that are children. Bonim Atem Lashem Elokeichem. These are the souls that are affected by the world's Briya Yitzirasiya, the world of creation, the world of formation, the world of action, and so forth. And these souls find themselves lonely in this world. And the soul turns to its father and says, Father, come here with me in this big world. I want you. I need you. This is what Torah is all about. And this is the deeper meaning in the Pasuk in Tehillim, Perik, Kuf, Mem, Hei, which we actually recite every day in Ashrei, Karov Hashem l'chol karov l'chol asher yikru b'emes. Hashem is near to all who call Him, to all who call Him in truth. What is the meaning to all who call Him in truth? Ve'ein emes al Torah. Now everybody knows, the Gemara says in Brachas, Daf Hei, and Yerushalmi, in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, Perek Gimel, that Ein Emes Ela Torah. There is no truth but Torah. So what does it mean? L'chela sheikru ba'emes. Dahainu, this means Shekeide la'kadosh baruch hu, ayde ha'Torah dafka. That Hashem is close to He who calls Hashem through Emes. Ba'emes, through truth, through learning Torah. In contrast to one who does not call Him through Torah learning, Elatzayik Abba Abba, but merely cries, Father, Father. But he does not call to Him be'emes through Torah. Over him the prophet laments, Ve'ein kairei v'shimcha chuli. There is no one who calls by your name, as is explained elsewhere. The prophet Yeshayah in Perek Samach Dalet says, Ve'ein kairei v'shimcha mis'oyer lahachzik bach, ki starta panecha mimenu v'atumogenu b'yad avineinu, which means, there is no one to call out in your name, who arouses himself to hold fast to you when you hide your face from us and melt us away because of our iniquities. So the Alter Rebbe is telling us here that the fact that Yeshayah does not say ve'ein kairacha or ve'ein kairei oischa, there is no one who calls you. He says ve'ein kairei v'shimcha, there is no one who calls out your name. This indicates that there might be people who are calling Him. But there's no one to call Him by His name. There might be people who are calling Him. They're screaming and crying, Abba, Abba, Father, Father. I, the Father, is present right near you. In the Gemara is the Father. In the Sefer of Torah, that's where the Father is present. Nevertheless, that they're missing. So we're talking about people who are truly searching for God. They're truly searching to find the cosmic oneness, to transcend their lowliness, to transcend their ego and their fragmentation. But they don't find Him because they're not calling it by His name. So they might be engaging in meditation and in transcendental routines and in isolation and so on and so forth for many years, during which they're shouting, Abba, Abba, but the call, the cry does not pass to the second side of the mountain. Torah is Kairi V'Shimcha. It's calling you by your name, to which you respond, where you're present, where you are. The Ramban writes in his introduction to Chumash that there is a Kabbalah Shel Emes, a tradition of truth, that the whole Torah Shebiksav essentially consists of Shmoisav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem's names, which means you can read the entire Chumash, the entire Torah Shebiksav, not just as we read it, but it actually has a continuing pattern of Hashem's names. And therefore he says, that's why a Sefer Torah, in which a Torah scroll, in which describe errors in one letter, whether the letter has to be with a vav or without a vav, it doesn't change its meaning. Who cares? Why does it disqualify the Sefer Torah? He says, because the Torah is beyond the meaning of the words, how we relate to it. It's Shmoisav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's Hashem's name. It's Hashem's name in the sense that when you call out His name, He turns around. He's there. So Torah is kairi b'Torah. When a Yid opens up a Gemara, opens up a Sefer Torah, he says Zayda, and the Zayda is there. Fukim, you should say, Abba, Abba. The truth is that on a deeper level, in the Alter Rebbe's Siddur, on this Pasuk, he writes that in calling out to Hashem, there are also two levels. There's identifying him as Zayda, or as Abba, as Father, and then there's identifying him by his name. And that's the difference between Karev Hashem L'chol Karev. Hashem is close to all those who call him. And then the second half of the pasuk L'chol Hashekru Be'emes. And it's the difference between davening and learning. During davening, what's davening? In davening itself, there are various levels. But what's the real essence of davening? A Yid begs, a Yid shouts, a Yid screams, a Yid cries, Abba, Abba, Father, Father. And Karev Hashem L'chol Karev, Hashem turns around. But what element of him turns around to you? The element of him that relates to you. Hashem is your father. Hashem is your grandpa. But it's Hashem as your progenitor, as your source, as your life, and so forth. It's important. Prayer is important. The Yid has to have the personal, emotional experience, which maybe in the big scheme of things is sometimes perceived as selfishness, but it's really a spiritual selfishness that's needed. A Yid has to feel Hashem is my father, Hashem is my Zayda, and so forth. Then there's L'chol Hashekru Be'emes. Torah is Hashem's name. It's Hashem's essential, intrinsic name. That's how he's identified in his most intimate space, not just as my father and my grandfather. So Chassidus says that a zgula, a way to deal with someone who's, heaven forbid, in a faint or in a coma and so forth, is to call out his name. And so it was done during many generations, to call his name. So Chassidus explains, because when a person faints or goes into a coma, his energy, his soul, is relegated to the subconscious level. He's not dead yet. He's not dead, God forbid. But consciously, he's not alive. His life, his energy is not present. So that's why you have to go back to the essence. The expressions of the soul are not manifested. The soul is there essentially, but without its expression. So you have to go back to the essence. How do you go back to the essence? You call the person by his name. That's why the Baal Shem Tov's name was Yisrael. Yisrael, Rabbi Yisrael Baal Shem Tov. Why? So Chassidus explains, is a Hasidic discourse that explains, because during the time of the Baal Shem Tov, the Jewish people were in a spiritual coma. So how do you revive them? Hashem called out their name. He sent down a soul which called out their name, Yisrael. And that revived the essence of the soul. So this is what Torah is. Kerev Shimcha, even beyond davening. Yeah. Yeah.
I think you sort of answered along the way. I mean, I was just going to say, so how can God not hear what a person says? Okay, good.
Umizem Yizbein and Hamaskil. This material should be used by the spiritually intelligent person to meditate and contemplate upon in order laham shechalav yirigdele b'shaseis katera, in order to experience an awesomely great awe and reverence when he engages in learning Torah. K'meisha kasov le'el perek chav gimel, as has been explained above, in chapter 23. So the realization that in Torah study one is being kaire, one is calling Hashem to himself, just as you're calling your most intimate friend to come be with you, this arouses and creates a very powerful emotion of awe when a person is learning Torah. people can learn Torah in various ways. You can learn Torah as a profession, as a career. You could learn Torah as an intellectual exercise, and for various other reasons and motivations, detached from a real intense emotional experience. The Alter Rebbe says a spiritually sensitive, masculine, intelligent person has to meditate and realize what is happening when you're learning Torah. You're experiencing intimacy with Hashem in the deepest and in the most profound way.